Say amen. Amen. Hey, it's good to be here once more time. Today, we're going to speak on the chapter that Kemi beautifully read. The verse 3 says, children are a heritage to God. Can you project something for me? Thank you. Today is also Sebastian's dedication. I need a picture again, please. And we just want to thank God for his life. We want to praise God for his life. Jesus Christ himself was sent to the temple to be dedicated to God when he was but a child. So today, even us, Sebastian is being brought by his mother, Nakari, and his father, Louis. Where are they? I know you're here, but I can't see Nakari and Sebastian. Bring them wherever they are. Oh, they're probably feeding. Okay, thanks. Tell them they should be here by the time I finish. We're just going to put them in the arms of God because that is what the Bible tells us, and that is where we go. We just want to thank Jesus for his love and kindness for this young man. It's a good thing that we do. So, we say children are a heritage. Shall we repeat that? Children are a heritage. One more time. For the last time. Amen. I know some people think children are a pain, but the Bible says children are a heritage. Amen. If you think children are a pain, then you're a pain. You understand that? Because you was once a child yourself. So children are a heritage. They are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward from God himself. So any child that is born is a blessing from God. Any child that breaks the womb, the Bible says, dedicate this child to me. That's what the Bible says. That every child that comes out of the womb should be dedicated to the Lord our God. That means put that child into the care of God because he is the one who will help you look after that child. Do you hear that? When we say children are a heritage, we mean children are inheritance to us. It's as if you inherited something. God has given you a treasure. Right? Has anyone inherited something in your life? Yeah? Alice says, thank you. It makes the two of us, yes? It makes Mr. Louis as well. And it is so beautiful. It's something that you never worked hard for, and somehow somebody leaves something for you. And what is left for you, don't worry, it's his day. What is left for you gives you the chance to actually breathe and keep your head above water. Is that right? That is a heritage. That's an inheritance. It's a patronage. It's an investment that God has given you. So when you have a child, that means God has given you an investment. God has given you something that will support you. God has given you a legacy. And that is what God is saying. So I want to paint a picture of you. So today, Louis and Nakari, as you look at your son out there, I want to paint this picture to you. And every mother, every father, every parent here, I want to paint this picture to you that your child is a legacy. Hallelujah. And your child is here to stay. If you don't like your child, you have to live with it. Your child is here to stay. They are a gift from the Lord. They have been entrusted to you by the Lord to look after them and to take care of them. Do you understand that? You see, probably you only took some actions, but then in the womb, somebody looked after the baby. You didn't know how the baby was growing. You never fed a child in the womb, did you? And then a time came and something turned into something and then a baby is born. Isn't that miraculous? You never did anything about that in the womb, did you? That is the miracle of childbirth. And God is the one who took care of that sperm and that ovary or that egg to become a human and a living being. It's God who takes care of them. So once the child is born, remember, God is saying that, no, I have done my bit for now, but I'm giving the child into your hand so that you can take the child and do something good with the child. But as you do it, let's do it together. God is not just leaving you alone to do it. So today I'm going to take 3 points to talk about. First, children are God's blessing to mankind. 2, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. And 3, show them your love. Show them that you love them in words and action. The latter part, I'm going to spend some time on it. Children are God's blessing to mankind. If anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. Show them you love them in words and action. That is the third bit that I'm going to talk about it. So, when we read from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28, the Bible says, God blessed Adam and Eve. He used the word God blessed them, right? Because verse 26, 27 says, let's make man in our own image, and male and female he make them. Have you checked it out in verse 27? And called their name Adam. So we are looking at one man, but God is looking at more than that. So God wants you to begin to look at human beings from his perspective. He sees more than you see. There is something in that baby that you have than you see. And you have to discover that. It took Adam a long while before he discovered that and said, oh, wow, this is the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. It took him a while, but God says, recognize that. And God blessed Adam and Eve. He blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. So, if today God has blessed you with a child, then you are fulfilling scripture. I must say, not everybody has a child. Doesn't mean that God has rejected you. Some of you may be even praying for God to open your womb still. And trust this God, because the Bible said if God has done it once, he will do it again. Your turn will come at the appropriate time. If you need it. Hannah in the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 1. She didn't. She prayed and prayed and prayed, and God opened her womb and she became pregnant and she had a baby. Similarly, Leah, one of Jacob's wives, God opened her womb and had a baby. Rachel was not getting pregnant. God opened her womb and had a baby. Ruth, and God opened her womb and she had a baby. So telling that it's God who actually opens the womb and gives us babies. So when you have one, you know that God has blessed you, and it's God's blessing, and it's God's legacy, and it's God's patronage towards you. And therefore, you have to look after this child with due diligence. Hallelujah. It is God who gives conception, and it's he who opens the womb. That's when Eve had Cain. If you read Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, this is what she said. With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Hear that. With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. At this point, you can see that Eve was speaking not only about a baby boy, but she was looking forward to something bigger. Did you see that? Hello? Exactly. These days, I try not to do PowerPoint so that you can actually bring your Bibles to church, because a lot of you have decided to pack your Bible on the shelf and you don't want to bring them to the church. So that means you probably will not be reading them at home. So the challenge is Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. At this point, he said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. So he was speaking and looking at the child, a baby, like Sebastian, and looking at Sebastian, looking at him and jogging him around and says, Sebastian, Sebastian. But then he was looking at a man, Sebastian. Hallelujah. So as you have your baby in your hand, begin to see the man or the woman that God has put in your hand. Begin to see not just a little tiny little thing, but something great that God is going to make out of this child. That is the vision that God is giving you when you have a child. Hallelujah. And if you have this vision of a child, then you begin to dream big for the child. Then you begin to see through the eyes of God. Then you begin to see that this child is going to grow, conquer all diseases and illness, conquer all obstructions and disappointment, and become the man or woman that God has intended for him or her to be. For God has blessed me. And today, Nakri and Louis, God has blessed you with a son. And not only a son, but a man. Yeah, he just turned and looked at me. God has blessed you. When I said a man, he just turned. You're a man. You see, God has blessed you with a man. You never know what a child will be, but begin to dream big for the child because God has given you a man. So, Sebastian, God has given you as a blessing to your parents. What else can I say about this? That if you bring them up well, one day they will be an aid to you. They will bring help to you. They will be of an assistance to you. They will bring relief and encouragement to you. They will serve you and comfort you if you bring them up well. Amen. If you hurt and brutalize them, they carry pain in their lives and they will not be there when you need them. Do you understand that? So you have to bring them up well. To have children in your home is a blessing. Because Psalm 127, as was read, said, "Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." The best way to think of children as they come from God is to think of them as his blessings to you and to your home. Hallelujah. To your home. So if a man lacks wisdom, that's the second point. Ask God. Do you know where this passage is from? James chapter 1 verse 5. Thank you. You see, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. I remember it in this truncated form because one of the things that we did in VBS here, that is our holiday club for young people, is to teach them unashamedly the word of God, to come to know Jesus Christ, even at their tender age. And we said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. But it's a longer verse than that. It literally said, look, if anyone asks God, lack wisdom, you should ask God. For he will give to everyone who asks from him freely and will not hold back. Amen? Amen. So to bring up your children, you have to ask God, who opened your womb, who gave you this child as a legacy, a blessing, and as an inheritance, and as a patronage, and as a heritage. Ask God. Because bringing up a child has its own challenges. Because any gift that God gives to you, the enemy is there to mess it up. Do you understand that? The enemy is there to mess it up. But you are not going to give the enemy the chance to mess your children up. So for that reason, you have to make every effort to ask God for wisdom to be able to bring up your children in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, so today, I'm encouraging you all parents who have children, and Sebastian, parents, Louis and Nakri, hear this, that you have to ask God for wisdom. See, don't worry about it. Today, there's the dispensation for the children to make noise. Because today God has given you anointing to listen through noise if you haven't got one. So what we're saying is that we have to ask God. So when you start reading Psalm 127, you see, I believe verse 1 is the most misquoted verse or quoted verse out of context ever that happens. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake and stand guard in vain. And I have heard many people, even myself at some point, quoted this verse to say, unless God build a church, we labor in vain. But actually, we're talking about the home that God has given you for your child. Unless God builds that home. Unless God build that child, because that child is not just a single person. Listen to what Eve said. God has given me a man. And you know what? That man will one day become a nation. There was one African educationist who once said this thing, made a statement and said, when you educate a man, I mean, you educate one person, but when you educate a woman, you educate a whole nation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Good Lord, what do we say about men? I don't know whether he's right or wrong. I'll go and look for his grave and go and talk to him. I said, you misquoted. You see, but what I'm trying to bring to your attention is that when you take care of a child, God refers to them as a nation and as a home. And therefore, unless God builds that house, unless God actually helps you to build your child and your home, you labor in vain. If you don't bring God into your home and in the bringing up of your child, sometimes you struggle in vain. You see, in my own experience as a parent, part of my challenges and my solutions is that I go to God all the time and I say, God, help me out. I said, God, you know what? One of my prayers, real prayers that I pray to God, I've never been a parent before. I've seen my older siblings have children. And I've always been babysitting. I think I know I'm a good parent. But actually, until you have your own, parenthood is different. When they're not sleeping, you have to wake up. And maybe you work whole day and you're so tired and you're just asleep for half an hour, and every half an hour the child wakes up. You're so exhausted and you're thinking, oh dear, what should I do? You ask God for wisdom. You pray to God and say, God, you know what? I'm not asking this child to die, but I pray that you give my righteous sleep. Amen? Amen. It's all in this psalm, you know. God says, I give them sleep. So pray for God to give them sleep. If they are not sleeping, if they are not eating, pray for God to open their mouth so that they can eat. Because the Bible said everyone should eat. If you don't eat, you die. You know that? Some children, I don't understand them, honestly. You have to beg them to eat, and I'm thinking you eat it into your belly, you know, not me. But that's the way children are. They try your patience. But you know what? You are there to build a home. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Who build it? Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake and stand guard in vain. Sometimes, you know something? You are so worried when your child is sick. And you'll be wondering, what is going to happen to my child? You see, give that child to God and let God guard that child. For me, I've never been afraid of witchcraft or wizard or some evil people eating my children. Because I know God has sent his angels to guard my children. And each night as they sleep, I pray over them. And therefore, God guards them. And for that reason, I can sleep. Because I can keep awake whole night. And probably when that demon or that devil comes, I wouldn't even see it. But God knows. He's supernatural. He's a powerful God. He sees these things. And God, our King, will take care of your children. While God entrusts children to parents to be their teachers and guides and to prepare them for adulthood, it is also true that Christian families should prepare their children for a relationship with Jesus. Teach them your ways, Nakari. Louis, teach the man that you have in your hand your ways. Teach them about your God. At the moment, they may not understand, but speak to them anyway. Prophesy over them anyway. Tell them about your Jesus. Tell them that, look, I worship Jesus, and you grow up and you also worship Jesus. Not as an instruction, but as a declaration, as a prophecy over his life. Sing over them. Even before they're born, just lay hands on your wife and pray over the child in the womb. They will hear your voice. Do that, my brothers and my sisters. Do that. Teach them your ways. Teach them your faith. Teach them your language as well. And I know you teach him Spanish, wouldn't you? Because you're going to teach the whole class Spanish classes. Make sure he's the first one to speak Spanish. English, he will get it. Anyway, as long as he stays in this country, nobody will teach him and he will pick it up. But Spanish, you have to teach him. Do you understand that? And I say that to all of you. If you have a second language, teach them. See, recently I've been going to Europe. And I thought I knew, but it surprised me even more. that every country that I've visited, people spoke English as if they were born here. In addition to their language, and you come here, and apart from Swahili, what else do you speak? Well, you're trying French, aren't you? You better do. You see, so here we are. People speak other languages, and I'm going and I'm looking so lost. But I speak language, sometimes I'm just watching, somebody says, can I help you? And I'm thinking, am I in London? That is what it is. Teach them your language. And teach them your culture too. The way you do things. Where you've come from. Please teach them. Don't let them lose it. You see, we cannot all be Nigerians. We cannot all be English. We cannot all be Ghanaians, Jamaicans, wherever. But we are here. Do you understand that? And therefore, learn the culture of this country too. Teach them the culture of this country too. Yeah, because you cannot build your village right here in Lewisham. Teach them the culture of this country too. I'm saying this, so this is almost like a parenting, lessons, right? See, but this is, Sebastian's day. We're going to dedicate him. But as parents, this is what I'm saying to you, as Nakri and Louis, and for all of you as parents, this is what we should do. We should teach them our culture. Teach them the culture of the nation in which you are inhabiting in. Because otherwise you isolate yourself. And then when you grow up and you're looking for a job, you don't fit the culture. And who do you blame? Because why? You are white? Because you are Asian? Because you are black? You can't play those games all the time. You have to meet the culture of the nation too. When we see children as from heaven and are gift from God, then we have to communicate to our children right from the beginning that they are unique, that they are a blessing and not a burden. You see, when you say negative things about kids, or when you don't love kids, they know, you know. Even when they are babies, they will know when their mother or father don't like them. They are aware of that. They see, you don't even have to say it to them. They pick it up. So let them know that they are unique. They are one of a kind. There's no child like your child. Your child is the best child ever born. Do you understand that? And whilst you are thinking that your child or Sebastian is the best child, the most handsome child ever born in London, which is true, at the same time think about it, that somebody also sees their son or their daughter the same way. So you teach your son or your daughter to respect other children and their uniqueness. Say hallelujah. Every child is the parent's angel. And please never let them feel or know that they are a burden to you. Even if you think they are a burden, just bless the Lord. And look at it from God's eye that this child came from God and was his blessing. Some people are praying all this time for a child. They haven't got one. And you have got one freely. So you have to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Now my third point, which I'm going to stay in a little bit, is that show them you love them in words and action. Show your children that you love them in words and action. Tell them verbally as well as non-verbally to make sure you love, your love for them is caught as well as taught. Yeah, let them know as you speak. Let them know as by your actions that you love them. Because you can tell people that you love them so much, and if your action doesn't show it, it doesn't make a difference. They will only take the bad things that you do, your actions. So please make sure that you do this. And the first thing that I would say that you have to do to show your children, to show Sebastian that you love him so much, is to set boundaries for his life. Can I hear you, parents Nakri and Louis, say amen? Amen? Thank you. Set boundaries for his life. This is scripture, you know, it's not me inventing it. Research shows in this country, in America, shows that those children who had no limits when growing up, by the time they reach teenage years, into adulthood and faces challenges in life, they seem to wonder if their parents really did care for them. They struggle to deal with issues because they had had freedom, in quotes, growing up. They had no curfews and limits. They are allowed to do anything they like. They tell their parents what to do. They seem to be bigger, taller, stronger, with a much louder voice than their parents, when in reality, this should be the opposite. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You see, sometimes we think we love our children by giving them no boundaries. They do anything because we love them so much. But I believe that is not love. You know why? I'll tell you this. Nobody will look at their little child, maybe 2-year-old, run around and cross that street that is that busy in front of us, and we'll watch the child do it. Will you do that? Why? Because the child can get hurt. No one will let your children play around the street corner on this Greenwich High Road, or Greenwich High Road is over here, or Lewisham Road, knowing that it's always filled with cars, just like South Street is filled with cars and motorbikes right now. You never let your little child play that way. I remember when my children were growing, some of them, oh God, they nearly got my heart stopping. They will run, and they know the street is there. They will run and run, and then they get to that junction, and then they stop. I'm thinking, oh God, thank you. I'm thinking, I could die for nothing. See, children sometimes have no sense of danger. So they are looking for you and me to help them navigate the dangers of life. So you have to let them know that it is dangerous to cross a busy street without an adult with you. There's actually a place to cross, and not anywhere. These are limits. These are boundaries. Is it a good boundary or a bad boundary? Exactly. And this research that I read, I should have actually written the source and the name and everything for you, shows, and I agree with it, that those who have no boundaries, when they get out there and society seems to be not giving them freedom as they want, they struggle so much. Because they are the father in the house. They are the mother in the house. They tell their parents what they need to hear. I want this. I want that. Do this. And you think, oh, Sebastian, what do you want? I'll do it for you. Please, I beg you, don't do that. That is not loving your child. In reason, do what is reasonable, but also let your child know that there are boundaries to life. Are you hearing that? So, remember that you are a parent. Now you look at your son in front of you, you are bigger, you are taller, you are louder, you are stronger. Isn't that true? Exactly. So why will you turn the tables round? A time may come that they may be that way. That is when you are in the old people's home. But for now, you're the mother, you are the father, you are the caretaker. You've been given a legacy, so do not waste it. That's the first and most important thing that every parent should do. So if you're a child, you're here, and you have your own way all the time, and you throw tantrums when you don't get it, you are doing something which will hurt you one day. Are you hearing that? So I beg you, stop doing that. Your parents really love you. They love you. That is why they actually incubated you for 9 months. It's not easy, you know. I've never been pregnant before, I always say, but I see people who are pregnant and some of the challenges that they go through. And therefore, make life a little bit easy for them. Give them a chance to help you. When these people encounter the real world and their assumed position and role is reversed, The whole experience becomes a shock to their system, and they either blame their parents or isolate themselves from everyone. That's their reaction, always, according to this research. And it's absolutely so true. As soon as they don't get their own way, they come and then they take it on their parents because they were never given the limits. And then this time they shut themselves away from everybody. And this is the beginning of trouble. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, teach a child the way he or she may go, and when they grow up, they will not depart from it. You do well to listen instead of fighting. Thank you. No parents will allow a toddler unattended, but they will take care of them. One of the first words children learn when they begin to talk is what? No. The first thing they learn to learn is no. So Sebastian, the first word, I guarantee you, probably I can prophesy. Just say it. The first word Sebastian will learn is no. Maybe they will say mom first, or maybe dad first. But when they try to express themselves first, anything they say, no. Sebastian, no. How are you? No. Everything is no for kids. And then later on, they learn a yes later. They have the tendency to say no. Because children want to express themselves. They want to be free without limits. So no is a good thing for them to say. Yes, but no means that it is not acceptable. No means that it can be dangerous for you. No means that you can get hurt. No means that I am not doing that, therefore observe the limits that I'm giving you. So you should also say no as a parent. So Nakri, be brave and say no. Sebastian, yeah? How do we say no in French, in Spanish? Same? No? No, it's no. You say the English is triumph. Even French say no. So everybody says no. So here we are. Boundaries, by certain boundaries, you know what you are saying. He said, I love you, Sebastian, enough to correct you so that you do not get hurt. Do you understand that? You are telling the child, I love you so much so that you do not get hurt. That's why I'm correcting you. See, I'm not asking for physical boundaries or put them in a cage, right? That's not what I'm asking for. I'm not saying lock them up and go to work. No. But correct them. Parents should learn from God who put boundaries around his children's lives so that they will come out good. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12, it says that the Lord disciplines, or in some King James version, chastises those he loves, just as father corrects a child in whom he delights. See, this does not mean that beat them to death or scream at them into oblivion. You see, that's what King James Version says, chastise them. So we come and we are so righteous. Chastisement. Whoa! Boom! That's not what God told us to do. Do you understand that? And sometimes some of us, we have this argument of our culture, you have to beat us before we can actually understand. Gary, I'm telling the truth, isn't it? Okay, you didn't hear it, that's all. You see, it's not about beating the child to death. It's not about screaming at the child to death. You see, some of you probably even thought, I spent all my life screaming and beating my children to what they have been. They're of age. Just speak to them. Totally the opposite. So, yeah, because someone actually did ask me this question. How did your children come good? Were you beating them all the time? What did you use? I should have told them what I used. I didn't use none. I went to God most of the time to ask for wisdom. Sometimes I ask for patience. God, give me strength. And God did that. And as you learn from God, you know that it's not so much about beating, but it's everything about correction. This means that the Lord corrects. The Lord gives direction. Correction is about giving direction, giving counsel, warning, setting boundaries for those he loves. So direct them right. Give them counsel. Warn them about the dangers of what they are doing. I'll just go back to Genesis chapter 1, again verse 28. It says this, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over it.'" It means take charge and bring order into the situation. Sanity, peace all over wherever you are. Have dominion also means be brave and be in control of the situation. Don't let your kids slip out of control from you. Don't let them control you. Please, I beg you. And that is exactly what the Word of God says. The moment your children control you, you've lost the home. And you can't tell them, and unless the Lord builds the house, you will labor in vain. Who does that? Unless God intervenes, it will bring you so much tears. And anyone who, in my experience, in the many experiences of many parents, who have loved their kids so much that they allow them no limits, they always come crying. That is not love. Love is setting boundaries. This point I've spent a little bit of time on, but I want to move on. Explain the reason behind what you say. You see, sometimes we just say that, look, somebody, I mean, you ask, say, Connor, do this, and Connor asks you, why? Kids always say, why, isn't it? Especially when they are young, 4 or 5 years old. Why? I told you so. You see, by saying, I told you so, you are certain that you are bigger and stronger, but you know what you are actually doing? You're hurting the child. You are disrespecting your child. You're telling them that you have no brain. I say do this and you have to do it. You're making your child to be a zombie. You are not allowed that in the kingdom of God. So I pray that one day I will speak Spanish and I'll talk to Sebastian and ask him, did your dad or mom say to you, I told you so? When they say why, explain the reason behind what you are saying. Don't disrespect your child. Don't underestimate his or her ability to comprehend. And by doing so, you as a parent, you are showing laziness. And you're not showing that you are in control. That is not to say that parents don't have to have authority to tell their children what to do. It is to say that children, especially the older type, the older they get, can understand and appreciate reasons for our instructions if we will provide them. That means as they are growing up, you have to explain yourself more. Because now they are thinking about what they are doing. Maybe they are playing, they are so excited about it. And they say, come on, Connor, come and do this for me. And I'm thinking, you've broken the guy's play. You've broken his rhythm. And you may have to explain yourself to the child. Do you understand that? Connor, today I'm bigging you up. So don't go and fight your parents, you know that. Okay, so let's move on. Yeah, the third point under showing that you love your children is enjoy your children. Hang out with them. Be patient with them. And be patient with their immaturity because they are not as mature as you. They are immature. So be patient with them. Laugh with them. And prove that you want to be part of their lives as opposed to insisting that they be part of yours. Sometimes forgo your favorite TV program or music and listen to this. Shall we pray for this father? Hallelujah. I promise you, Dad, they will love you so much that Dad has forgotten his favorite program just to watch it. I used to love motor racing so much that I will not miss it for any reason. And this is the time that my kids growing up, they want to watch their cartoon. Good Lord, that was a real challenge. So I realized that that is the only thing that will keep them quiet. Otherwise, my motor racing will not go on properly. And I may have to throw time to myself. Instead of me being the father, I become the child. So I had to give in. and watch it with them. So please do that sometimes, and that will help them a great deal. Physically express what you feel in your heart to your children. Fathers especially, Louis, that is for you if you had a girl. I don't know whether you have a girl coming one day, but maybe not, I don't know. But fathers especially need to wrap your arms around your sons and daughters and give them affirmation that only physical touch can provide. Because sometimes saying that I love you is not enough until you actually hug them. You get them close to your bosom, then they know that, hey, they can feel your heartbeat. So you love them. This gives them, you know what, security and acceptance. When you hug your children, it makes them secure. It makes them acceptance. How many times have you read the Bible and the Bible says that, look, God who put me in the cave or in the den or in the kind of in the cleft of his, whatever he says. See, I've forgotten the King James Version element of it. But it's as if God actually put his arms around us and protect us and give us that security and affirms us that, look, I am there for you. So by hugging your kids regularly, you are telling them that I am there for you. When they were kids, like Louis is doing, carrying your baby all the time. So how come when they are growing up, you don't want to do that? Begin to do that with your kids. I remember some of my girls, when they were even in uni, they want to sit on my lap. I'm thinking, gosh, this is very challenging. But you see, I don't think that they really want to sit on my lap. They just want that security and affirmation that their dad was there for them. It's very important that you think. And I must say that it wasn't a burden for me. Initially, I cringed. I'm thinking, oh God, what would every believer do? And I realized that this is not about being a believer, but it's about being yourself and loving God and loving your children. And that was incredibly beautiful to do that. And I grew to love that. For a daughter, a father's hug provides affirmation of beauty and desirability from the most important male figure in her life. If young women don't get physical affection from their fathers, they will seek it from inappropriate sources. Sons and daughters need to learn from their parents by your principles, by your instructions, by your guidelines, and by your examples that physical affection of love is a natural part of life. Don't spend all your time chasing money and not have time for your children. So verse 2 of Psalm 127 says that, look, in vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Please enjoy your children, and God will give you good sleep. It is not about the toys or the clothes and the presents or even the holidays. It's about showing love to your children, for they are your heritage, a gift from God, and a reward of his blessings over your life. Let them know that you are human. Yes? Let them know that you are human. I know some of you come from some cultures that a man can never cry, a man can never feel vulnerable, a man should always stand tall and strong, and yet inside you are burning and you are weak. Let them know. When parents never admit that their own failings to their children, while at the same time pointing out the children's failings, the standard that is being communicated is perfection. You must be perfect. Do you understand that? If you're always criticizing your children, you've done wrong, you've done wrong, you've done wrong, but you never accept it when you do anything wrong. You're saying you are perfect, but you know you are not. So you put pressure on your children. And some of you end up beating them unnecessarily for no reason, because you expect them to stand attention as soon as you speak. Please, I beg you, that is wrong. That is not scripture. Has nothing in nobody's culture. If it's in your culture, ditch it. In the culture of God, that is where we are. We don't have to be doing things like that. Yes? Because sometimes people say, oh, but it didn't kill us when we were this. In the 50s and 60s, Jenny, you can tell. I mean, our life was different, right? It didn't kill you. You come good, haven't you? Exactly. You see, she understands what I'm saying. But things have changed. And we are more enlightened in the Word of God. So if we apply the Word of God, it was good then and to be good now. Our parents would have done a little bit different. They would have prayed to God more. They would have asked God more for wisdom and understanding. And God would have helped them through this. Some parents fear their children will think less of them if they acknowledge their mistakes. But the exact opposite is true. Children respect adults who admit they have failed. Such admissions extend an invitation to the child to acknowledge his or her own failings. Exchange ideas with them. I'll soon finish. Exchange ideas with them. As the children grow older, especially in light of their exposure to the world through various media, which we have plenty these days, they are fully capable of engaging in the realms of ideas. We need to make time and take the opportunity to interact with them and let them talk to us. Because sometimes we want our children to open up to us and we never give them the chance to talk. How can they open up to you when you are the only one talking? That's no conversation, is it? Sometimes hear them. I know parents can be under pressure, but don't transfer your pressure on the kids. Give them the chance to talk to you. What they may be saying may be crazy to you, but it's important to them. Hear it and see the sense, what's in it. We need to make time and take the opportunity to interact with them. And as we let them talk, it is in conversation and dialogue that children hear themselves and come to understand what they believe and how it measures up against God's truth. Share with them your challenges. Share with them your victories. Share with them your history. I read the last three verses of the chapter. Say, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponent. What does it mean? What we've been talking about all day, that children are a blessing from God. But also, he said, children are strength. When you have kids, it gives you so much strength. You're more than one in the house this time. You're more than two in the house this time. It gives you strength. It gives you courage. I remember one of my sister's husband died, and the kids were young, and she was all alone, but she found strength with the noises and the voices of the kids walking about in the house. It can really give you that kind of strength that you need. We have to be there to show them. And sometimes when somebody even rises against you, you have to talk to your children. In my own experience, in our own home, when our kids were much younger and we had challenges in this church, challenges about life, in order not to let them see that every human being is a bad guy, which is not true, we shielded them, we never told them at those ages because they were too young. Otherwise, they would grow with bitterness and suspicions about people. But when they grew up and they could understand in their 20s, sometimes we share some of our challenges with them and they encourage us. I remember one morning we were coming in the car and it was such a difficult time. And we sat down and at the time the older ones were in uni and the youngest, I don't know what age she was, maybe 13, 14, maybe younger. He said, Mom and Dad, can I pray this time? And that daughter prayed at that age, a very powerful prayer. It healed our wounds. It gave us succor. It strengthens us. At a time when we were shaking, all our fears went. When we were worried about the opposition and the contention that we're going to face, we became strong because of a child's prayer. So when you teach your children your ways, your God, give them the chance to grow up and they will be a strength to you. It says your quivers will be full in your home. When they take you to court, they will be there to support you. Hallelujah. 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 You see, and as you encourage them, my brothers and sisters, we want you to know they are going to face disappointment sometimes in life. It is true. Life is not all smooth. Sometimes we assume our kids are going to sail through life, but your own life is not like that. So why do you expect them to have it any different? Until they become spiritually mature enough to encourage themselves in the Lord, they need parents to be there for them. Use what I call the sandwich model. You see, criticize them less, but first praise them. And then on the other side, you encourage them. Do you understand that? So criticism should be small, like the small meat in the middle of a bread, but the outside is praise and encouragement, little criticisms. So please, do that to Sebastian. When he does things wrong, correct him. Don't spend all your life correcting him. But affirm him, encourage him, strengthen him. And that will be a good thing to do. The last point that I want to pick up for you guys is that help them to believe that they can achieve more than their dreams. Let them know that life is daunting, but they can achieve more. Possibilities, potentials, abilities, opportunities are what the parents need to put in front of them. That you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And if they fail, be patient with them, but keep telling them that you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. If we do our job well, and we enjoy our children, there will be decades of fellowship that we'll have with them. There will be decades of mutual support that we'll get from each other. Yes, there will be tears and sadness. And tears of joy too. All of which will water and nurture the lives of those whom God has entrusted to you. So today I thank you for listening to me to talk to you a little bit about parenting, talk to you a little bit about Sebastian, and please support the parents. So I'm going to call Sebastian and Nakari and Louis, and we're going to bless their son and dedicate him. I mean, if you can't climb, I will come down. Amen.